We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Hechsher Kelim, Halacha Aleph, Paragraph Beis. V'zeh shekosu betfilas kelim, and this is why the Torah writes about toiveling vessels or utensils, ach b'mei nido yischato. The Torah uses that pasuk. It should be purified. V'dorsh rabbi seinu zal mizeh, and our rabbis learn out from this pasuk, shekelim tzrichim tevila kemoy nido, that kelim, vessels, utensils, require toiveling just like a woman who has the impurity of nido. Ki tevilas kelim hu bebechinas tevilas nido mamish, because Rabbi Nosson Zal says the concept of toiveling a keli that was owned by a non-Jew is identical to the concept of a woman who is nido toiveling. Kidam nido isbo al yedei chet odom rishon shechoto beitz hadas. We know the whole concept of the fact that a woman experiences dam nido is a result of the fact that Odom and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas. Ayidei ze nigzar be'etzev tel dibonim. It was as a result of that that Hashem issued a decree that when you give birth, it will be be'etzev, with atzvus, shehi dam nidois, which is also a term associated with dam nido. Umachmaze tzricho hanido tvilo, lesakein uletaher mebchinas be'etzev, bchinas atzvus, morash choyra, anpen chashuchen, misa, pegam abris, shebchinas cheto damorishim. In order, this is why the woman requires tvila from dam nido, in order to purify herself from this be'etzev, this curse of be'etzev, which is atzvus, which is synonymous with morash choyra, anpen chashuchen, faces of darkness, misa, death, pegam abris, which is all included in the chet of Adam Rishon. Kamei shekosuv, as Hashem said, Beyoim achol chamimenu mois tomus. On the day that you eat from this tree, you're going to die, meaning you're going to be plugged in to this sitra demoisa, to the sitra achra, which is atzvus, which is dam nido, which is anpen chashuchim. V'zeh bi'atzmoi b'chinas tvilas kelim k'dei l'tayra sakli matches anal she'yotso me'reshusoi umamoinoi shel shivim umois. And this is the same concept of toiveling a keli in order to purify this metal keli that has left the possession and the ownership of the 70 nations which are associated with Avodah Zorah, which clings especially hanechas b'yoyser Bemine matchus, which clings most to metals, shehem shoyresh hamamon kanal, which are the roots, the source of money, coinage, kedei letahara me'avodah zorah, haklula mikol avodah zorahs, in order to purify the keli from the avodah zorah that's a composite of all avodah zorahs, shehu b'chinas taivas mamon kanal, which is the wrong type of desire for money. Shezeo b'chinas b'itzovoin toichaleno, which is again the curse that Hashem gave as a result of Eitz Hadas, that toichaleno, your livelihood, will come b'itzovoin. Nimtzo, shehu b'chinas tvilas nido mamish. So therefore, the concept of toiveling the keli to remove from it this b'itzovoin, this tumah of the 70 nations, this taivas mamon, is identical to the concept of the nida, the woman who is nida toivling, where her tumah also came about from the Eitz Hadas. K'moshom Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, koshin mizoynoisov kiflayim kayoyleido, that for a person to earn a livelihood is twice as difficult as a woman giving birth. The ilu shom ksiv be'etzev, because when Hashem, after the Eitz Hadas, when Hashem cursed the woman that she'll go through difficulty in birth, Hashem used the word be'etzev. V'hocha, when it comes to earning a livelihood, it says be'itzovoin, which is a plural term, double. U'kemuva ze b'maymer hanal, and as Rabbein Azal speaks about this in Torah Chav Gimel, Ayin Sham, look over there. Nimtzo shehein bebechina achas. So therefore, the concept of nida and the concept of the tumah that's on the keli owned by a goy are identical. Ukamashikosa shom b'maymar anal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over the Torah of Gimel, Shetaivas Momoin hu bechinas dam nidois. Rabbeinu Zalveir equates the two. He says that Taivas Momoin is dam nido. Ayin Shom. So just like the solution for dam nido is tevila, so too the solution for Taivas Momoin to rid the metal from the tumah of Taivas Momoin is by toiveling it. When it was previously in the ownership of a non-Jew. Vezeh b'chinas ha-tvilo shel nido v'shel kli matchis. B'chinas v'nohor yoytze me'eden la'hashkoy se'sagan u'mishom y'poreid. Rav Nosson Zal now continues that the toivling of the nido and the toivling of the metal kelim are associated with another pasuk that speaks around the topic of the Eitz Hadas, where it says that a river flows from Eden to water the garden, and from there it splits out. Ki hapirud maschil rak achar shemashke sagan. The splitting out, the separation, begins only after the garden has been watered. Umishom maschil hapirud al yidei b'chinas eitz hadas toivora shebetoich hagan. That's when the separation begins, as a result of the Eitz Hadas, which was in that garden. V'alkein, and therefore, kedei l'sakein u'letahir atzmoy mebchinas dam nidois. When a person wants to purify themselves from this dam nido, shehu alidei pegam Eitz Hadas, which was also a result of the pegam of the Eitz Hadas, shemishom hapirud, which is what caused separation. We know separation is a term that's associated with the Sitra Achra. The Kiddusha is always called oneness, Achdus, Hashem Echod, Ushmoy Echod, Ato Echod, Veshimcho Echod, Mikamcho Goy, Yisrael Goy Echod Boretz. The Sitra Achra is called Pirud, separation, Elokim Acherim, plural, many, the opposite of unity. Alkein Choizrin El Sharosham. That's why when we want to correct this Dam Nida, which came about through the Eitz Hadas Toivora, which is what caused Pirud, we have to go back to the roots, to the source. Shezeh b'chinas tvila kanal. That's the concept of dipping. Dahainu shechoizrin v'toivlin b'mikveh mayim. We go back and dip in the mikveh of water. Shehi b'chinas nohor yoytze me'eden. That's where we're going back to a previous level, to that river that flowed from Eden. Shehu b'chinas tshuva, which symbolizes tshuva. Shubchinas kuloi toiv, which is all goodness, which is the state koidem hapirud, before the separation. Sheshom nistakin hakoil. It's in that kuloi toiv, it's in that nohor yoytze me'eden, it's in that mikveh that we're able to fix everything. Paragraph Gimel. V'alkein ikar kabolas tuma beklimatches b'yoyser mikol hakelim. And this is why metal vessels are most vulnerable to the tumah more than other kelim. Ki afilu pshutehen tmeim. Because when it comes to metal, metal is different from wood, for example. When it comes to wood, only something that's a keli can become tmei. Pshute kliates, a piece of wood that's not a vessel in any way, that's not a keli, cannot become tmei. Whereas when it comes to metal, it's not true. Even a piece of unshaped metal at all is vulnerable to tumah. V'gam choizrin l'tumoson hayishona. And metal, a metal keli, goes back to its original tumah also in certain circumstances. Ayin b'maseches kelim. Take a look in the Mishnayos of Kelim, 24 chapters, which discuss all the various tumahs of kelim. Kishom ikara achizas hatuma, because it's in metal that you have the main achiz of tuma. Kinechozim b'yoyser b'klimatchos, they attach themselves, their hold is strongest on metal. Ukeneged ze yesh maila gamken b'klimatchos, and on the other hand, there's a benefit, there's an advantage to a metal keli, shafilu im nivla ha'yisr b'toichom, that even if the non-kosher got absorbed into the metal, for example, you cooked, not you, somebody cooked non-kosher food in a metal keli, yesh lohem tikun behagola v'libun. There's a way of rectifying it through either pouring boiling hot water over it in certain circumstances, or libun, a blowtorch, that kind of thing, a self-clean oven. that works when it comes to a metal keli. You can't do that for glass. You can't do that for porcelain, you know, for earthenware. Kol kli kefish mishnah shtabu yisur. Each utensil according to how it was used for isur. If it was used mamish directly on the fire in the oven, then it requires libun. If not, if it wasn't used directly on the fire, then hagola is okay. Ki keboiloi kach poiltoi. Because in the same manner that it absorbed the non-kosher, it spits out that non-kosher flavor. Ki kol echot kfima shepogam kein yisakein. Bebchinas chuas hamishkol. Kamu v'leil. Because each and every single person, according to what he messed up, that's what he has to fix. That's the concept of tshuva samishkol, an identical tshuva corresponding to what the person did wrong. That's when it comes to metal. Aval kli cheres ein lohem shum tikun kishaniv la hayisur besoichom. Whereas when it comes to an earthenware keli, if an earthenware keli absorbed non-kosher, there's nothing you can do for it. You can't kasher it. Kikvar mavur kamapomim, because we've already learned several times, she'ikar achizosum b'mokuim she'yesh kedusha b'yoyser, that where does the sitrachra try to latch on to most and hold on to the most? Where there's the highest kedusha. She'shom heim kruchim tomid. That's where the sitrachra tries very hard to go after it and to hold on to it. V'alkein ikar atvila b'kli matchas. That's why the main obligation of Tvilas Kelim is when it comes to metal keli, because that's where you have the ponim, either the ponim of Kedusha or the opposite, the ponim of the Sitra Achra. Aval kli cheres, whereas an earthenware vessel, she'ein shom ponim dikdusha, where there is no ponim of Kedusha there, by an earthenware keli, Vehem hepech hamamayin, and earthenware is the opposite of money. Why? Watch how what Rav Nosson Zal says now. Kimuvan midivrei Rabbeinu b'mokam acher, as Rabbeinu Zal shows us in Torah Chavtes, Samach Tes, in Likutimran, sorry, Shepirish ve'afrois zohov, Rabbeinu Zal there explains the pasuk dust, gold dust, or gold dirt, shehu b'chinas hamamayin sheyotza mishom hachiyus tigdusha. Rabbeinu Zal says that that pasuk refers to money when it loses its holiness. Shazai nishar afra bi'alma. Then it's just dirt. Afra is zohov. When it loses its zohov, when it loses its glow, it's afar. It's just dirt, like earth. Earth. Shazai nishar afra bi'alma. Nimtza she afra bi'alma hu hepech hamomayin sheyesh bo yichiyus tikdusha. So therefore, when we speak about earth, or dirt, like earthen, what you make earthenware from, clay, that kind of stuff, that's the opposite of money that can have a chiyus of kedusha in it. Because we said we have this pasuk, v'afrois zohov, which Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moharan, that refers to that when the money loses its holiness, then it's ofor, then it's like earth, like dirt. V'alkein, Kelim shelofor, dainu klicheres, ein tzrichen tvilo kishayotzim rak mirshusay shelakum. And this is why an earthenware keli, which was made by a non-Jew, does not require any toivling to go out of the possession of the non-Jew, from the possession of a non-Jew into the possession of a Jew, assuming the goy didn't cook in it or anything. Ki ein hasitrachra krucha sham linoik misham kanal. Because the sitrachra does not try to hold on to and to latch on to the earthenware keli like it does to the metal keli. Aval kishikvar nechaz by masitrachra, dahinu kishinivloiser besochan. Whereas, if the sitrachra did take hold of the klicheres, meaning the goy cooked something in the klicheres, let's say, azai ein lohem exactly, and the treif was absorbed into the earthenware. Azai ein lohem shum tikun. There's nothing you can do to kasher that klicheres. Ki hatoyro heidal klicheres she'ein hoyisur yotz misham. Because the Torah testifies about earthenware that the isur will not be able to leave there. Ki machmas shechiusam ma'at v'koton moed kanal. Because of the fact that the chius of this earthenware keli is on a very low level. It's very minimal. This is also why an earthenware keli breaks much more easily than a metal keli. Al kein, therefore, kishenechas behem ha-sitra achra. When the sitra achra takes hold of an earthenware keli, dainu shenivlo ben ha-isur, treif food was absorbed into the earthenware, azai heim nivgomim legamri. Then they become totally defective. Ve'ein lohem tikun. There's no repair for it. There's nothing you can do. Aval klimatches, whereas a metal keli, heim behepech mamish, has the opposite properties completely of klicheres. Meaning, number one, shetzrichim tvila, machme shekruchim shamoid kanal. It requires toivling when it's leaving the ownership of a goy, coming into the ownership of a Jew, because we said in the metal keli, the sitra achra tries very, very hard to grab onto it. However, despite that, it's possible to purify a metal keli by putting it in a mikveh. Afilu im nitmu mamish, even if it mamish became treif, the metal keli. Vafilu im nivla ho'iser besochan, and even if the treif ingredients were absorbed into the metal, into the walls of the metal keli, still, there is repair possible through the methods of Hagolo or Libun. Because of the fact that metal draws a very powerful chias from the side of Kedusha. This is why a metal keli is stronger than any other kind of keli. V'alkein ein nivgomim legamri li'oilam. Therefore, they do not become permanently damaged, no matter what. Even if treif stuff was cooked in it, it doesn't become permanently damaged. U'la'oilam yesh lohem tikun. It always can be fixed. It can be rectified. Either through hagolo or libun, there are different ways to kasher a metal keli, no matter what. Ukemuvala'el, as we saw earlier in Hilchas Chelev, Halacha Aleph, Shebemokim Sheyesh Kedusha Yesera, that whenever you have a place where there is a higher Kedusha, Shom Nechosen Beyoser, the Sitrachra goes after that more, and they try to hold on to that much stronger. However, Afal Pikein Einoi Nifgam Legamri Chasashom. However, they cannot mess it up permanently and completely. Ula oilam yesh loy tikun legoidel hakdusha shiyeshom. And therefore that item can always be fixed. It can definitely, yes, be fixed because of the high level of kedusha that's involved there. And also, v'gam ki koychom chozok moid lizboil hatikun. And because of the fact that there is a high kedusha there, it can handle the tikkun that's needed. It can handle fire or heat, other things like that. A glass keli can't handle fire. A earthenware keli can't handle a certain level of heat. But the metal can, because there's a higher kedusha there. And the higher the kedusha, the more it can handle fire and whatever tikkun you want to do on it. Kiafilum tzrichen libun, because even if it requires burning out with a blowtorch, like, you know, till it becomes like white hot, yecholin lelabnom baur, you can be malabin it in fire, vadayin yisharu kelim kamo shehoyu, and it'll remain a usable vessel, a usable pot or a usable oven, whatever it is. Aval klicheres ein lohem tikun kanal, whereas an earthenware keli does not have a tikun. Once it absorbs non-kosher in it, through cooking in it or anything like that, you can't fix it in any way. V'gam ein lohem koyach lizboil atikun. Because, number one, you can't on a spiritual level. And number two, on a physical level, the earthenware keli wouldn't be capable of handling the tikun. You know, the boiling hot water, or the fire, actually. Whereas metal keli, you can whiten it and purify it and fix it. Va'ain bekisfei ha'arizal, mevura zois heitev. Rav Nosson says, if you look in the writings of the Arizal, you'll see that this rule, this concept, is explained there very, very well. Shehaneshomois ha'gvoyim, that when we're dealing with very high-level souls, when they get trapped, when they fall into the Sitra Achra, because the Sitra Achra goes after them, it wants to grab one like that, soif kol soif yistaknu kol hanitzutzai shelahem. In the end, eventually, every spark of Kedusha of that soul is going to be rectified. It's going to be fixed. Afilu im naflu ma'oid ma'oid lamokim shenaflu. Even if they've fallen tremendously, very, very far down to whatever filthy places they've fallen into, afal pikein lo yihi enevad shum nitzutz mehem. Despite that, not one spark, not one particle of that neshama will be lost. Ayin Sham, look in the writings of the Arizal, where the Arizal talks about this. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds one very short paragraph. The Gemara says, Cherev harehu kecholol, that when we're dealing again with a metal keli, a sword, a knife, let's say, that was used to kill a person, or a knife that comes into contact with a dead body, we know a dead body is the most severe form of tumah in Judaism. A dead body is called avi avois hatumah, a grandfather of tumah. That's the only thing that can be an avi avois hatumah, is a dead body. The Gemara says there's one other thing, a knife, a sword that comes into contact with a dead body, has the same level of tumah as the dead body itself. This is an incredible chiddush, because usually in all the laws of tumah, when A touches B, B does not have the same level of tumah as A. It drops a level. If A is an av, then B becomes a rishon. If A is a rishon, B becomes a sheni, and so on and so forth. The only exception to this, I believe, or one of the only exceptions to this, is cherev hareu kecholo, that the knife that was used to kill the person. Iker kabolas tumah afilu beklisheni mimeis. The main ability to receive tumah, even as a klisheni from a mace, beyoser bekli matchas, is more so than anything in metal keli. Avonim shleimois tivne. When the Torah speaks about building the Beis Hamikdash or building the Mishkan, it says you should build it from stone. Veloy sonif aleim barzel. Don't you dare let any metal come into contact with it. So we see again that this metal could have this tremendous tumah on it. Veyeshleim taro b'mikveh v'tikun b'hagola v'hechsher. And yet, the metal can be purified by putting it in the mikveh, and it can get a tikkun. If it absorbed treif, it can get a tikkun through hagola or kashering it. You know, the different methods of kashering. Baruch Hashem.